WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
CBS Sports Network coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio. If you are a radio listener and you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see the mess that we cleaned up. A couple of tweets out there. I know Stu Feiner, who was watching, and by the way, get well, Stu. He's been dealing with some health issues.
Oh, man. Get well, Stu.
Yeah, get well, Stu. He tweeted out a picture of what he was watching on CBS Sports Network. There's before and after shots. We have that as well. Look at that. Very good. On CBS Sports Network, before and after shots. It's beautiful. Really, really just beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
You can't really see the spank that was there in that particular shot. But trust me, it was there. I know that Boomer tweeted it out. I put it up my Instagram, GOWFAN. So if you're someone who's not watching on CBS Sports Network, it is it's there. It's out there for you to.
I got to tell you, my nose has been running ever since.
I know.
Now, what does that mean?
That means that
I'm having an adverse reaction to it?
Maybe. Yeah, you'll be okay, I think.
You think so?
I mean, you've got that.
I grew up eating TV dinners.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, those things, put it in a space oven.
I grew up next to a landfill.
Right, exactly. Man, we were swimming in dirty water.
Of course.
Sumps.
Yeah.
But everywhere.
Yeah, I am completely conditioned to deal with a room full of chemicals. Yeah, I'm going to come out of it just fine.
Okay, good. Me too.
I mean, you grew up in the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically, you could step on a rusty nail and you'll be fine.
Yeah, there was no peanut allergies. There was no whey allergies. And
there was nothing.
There was no nothing. We all just kind of grew up and just sucked it up.
That's exactly right.
So how many times in your life were you told, suck it up?
Yeah, a lot.
I mean, a million times. Now, if you say suck it up to somebody, you trigger them.
Man, I tell you something. This is you know what? I am getting a little lightheaded.
I'm telling you, we're having a reaction. If I start getting hives, I'm going to get pissed.
See, here's the thing. I wasn't having a reaction until you talked about having a reaction. Now I'm having a reaction.
My nose is tingling.
Yeah.
I was not high.
Yeah.
I was not high.
Who's that?
I think it was Joe Beningo saying it was not high. All right. So the Jets yesterday, there's this video that comes out.
Yep.
And if you looked at the video of Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and came away with a negative take on that, then you never played a team sport in your life. Because I saw a couple of people go, uh-oh, you know, trouble in paradise between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. That's ridiculous. So they were having a tough day, reportedly. The defense was ahead of the offense in practice. And you had Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson in a spirited conversation about what was going on. They were obviously talking football, animated. And then at the end, they shook hands. And that is exactly the type of thing that you want to see from these guys. So I thought that was a positive, and I want to see them have some rough days. I want to see that defense get in that offense's face during these practices to make them better. I mean, they didn't play with each other at all last year.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's all about competition, man, and competition breeds intensity, and you need that intensity. You got to bring it to the field every single day. So when you step on the field on Sunday, Thursday, Monday, Saturday, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, this day, that day, you got to bring it every single week. You cannot be soft. You cannot back down. This is like a men's league, man. This is nastiness.
Jab it up the A-gap.
That's right. There's going to be some tough days, and yesterday was one of them for the offense, and good they all recognize it, and good that the quarterback is pissed off, and good that they have these conversations. Look, it's just normal. It's normal stuff. You know, we had all this kind of crap, too. You know how many fights we used to have in practice? Now, I know. Now, there's also fights, and especially when teams start practicing together.
Yeah.
There'll be fights again. And the reason that there are fights is because of the heat, the intensity. Guys are fighting for jobs. Guys are trying to set a culture for their team. And, you know, that's all normal stuff. The biggest difference nowadays compared to those days in the 80s and 90s when I played is that everybody's got a camera. Everybody's filming everything. Everybody's got an opinion about what they think they see. And they blow it out of proportion. All of this is normal stuff. The abnormal stuff for the players of today is that they have 3,000 fans at every practice filming everything.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, so I would just say that anything that comes from the field is just, it's just normal football intensity this time of year. And it's not nearly as intense as it used to be when you used to have two-a-day practices. You did in high school. I did in high school.
That's right. Double sessions.
How about those practices?
Yeah.
How about those fights during those games that nobody ever saw?
Those practices. That was the worst, but the best at the same time.
It was the worst and the best of times.
And I remember coming out of that, though, at the end of those double sessions, knowing that I was back in shape because, you know, we'd all go into that thing not really being in shape. After double sessions, like when you'd start running over to the water and everything, you'd be like, you know what, I got a little extra bounce in my step now. Like, yeah, after going through that.
These guys are on the practice field maybe twice, 2 hours a day, maybe, if that much. And they're doing their things, and then they go into the air conditioning, lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, again, there is a major difference. Like when we played, we had two-a-days. We had one day practice day on Wednesday, and you had Wednesday evening off. And you went for 5 to 6 weeks. But prior to my group, the 70s, those guys had 6 preseason games.
That's
crazy. They were in training camp for 9 weeks,
yeah,
or 8 weeks,
yeah.
I think. Kenny Anderson used to tell me it was like 8 or 9 weeks under Forrest Gregg and Paul Brown.
Imagine that.
Could you imagine that?
No, I mean, I can't.
I mean, that would be like Joe Sipp and Sal Ciampi put together.
And in professional football,
yes.
All that.
Yeah. And those guys were making like $50,000 a year. That's why they all had off-season jobs.
Yeah, and I think that when you see these videos where Daniel Jones is missing a receiver, or hitting a receiver, or Aaron Rodgers, it's because we love football so much. And I think some of these beat writers do want to put these things out, get engagement, get content out there. But really, I mean, I hate to say it doesn't mean anything because it does mean a lot to all of us. We love our teams. We love football. But, you know, when people were freaking out about that yesterday and thinking that was, you know, anybody who wanted to see the Jets fail and dislikes Aaron Rodgers and wants to see the Jets have a bad season, those were the ones that were making a stink out of that yesterday, thinking it was a bad thing that Garrett Wilson and you know, oh, Davante Adams trade is going to happen now. Like, come on.
You know, I was talking, I feel like I told you for an hour and 15 minutes yesterday.
I mean, that is a long time on the phone.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to get through. I hadn't seen him in a while. So he was shooting some commercial for some gel shots for his knees because he's playing tennis now.
Oh, nice. Tennis, not pickleball, huh?
So here's the thing. He and I are going to be a pickleball team.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
Where are you going to play?
Well, I told him I'd go over to Jersey to play with him like in a couple weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I played a little bit. Played a little pickleball in my time.
Yeah.
So me and Phil are going to be a team, and you know, maybe we'll do like some celebrity matches or something.
Wow.
How about that?
I love that. That is great.
I'm going to be screaming at his ass. He's not even going to know what he got himself into.
I'm trying to think of who I could have as a teammate to take you guys on. I got to find somebody. It's not a Frenchie. No, but I need somebody, like, not just one of my buddies from home.
How about BT?
Yeah, I don't know if BT plays pickleball. I don't know if I want to be on him.
Pickleball.
I don't want
play pickleball.
I don't want him as a teammate, though, man.
BT's a great athlete.
I know he is, but he'd be screaming at me and everything. He'd just be like,
that's what
too intense.
That's what we want the intensity.
It's loser!
It's definitely not going to be either Evan or Morash after watching the two of them play pickleball.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I'm going to go play with him. So and I found out that he was doing the preseason games with Bobby Papa and Carl Banks. And that's great. It's great for him. He stays in the mix. He's going to do some work with the Giants. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He's got his Russo thing. He's got his Shine thing. He's got he does his podcast with Matt, his son.
He's going to be busy.
That guy's busier now than he was when he actually was working at CBS.
He's busier than you right now.
He may be, because he's going to like end up doing these games. I think that's great that he's doing it, and I think that's great that the Giants are celebrating their 100th year anniversary, and he's going to be a big part of it with a lot of other Giant legends.
Yeah, when we had him on last time, I was saying he should be a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
He's a Super Bowl MVP, for God's sake.
Gotta be a top 10. I said top 5 at first, and he said no, and I was like, yeah, you're right.
One of the greatest Super Bowls of all time, man. I was at that game in Pasadena, man. He couldn't miss.
Yeah,
it was one of those days where you wake up and it's like, man, the ball's coming out of your hand the right way. The defense doesn't know what you're doing. Your players are making catches. Almost every pass that he threw hit them in the chest, by the way.
Yeah.
And nobody drops any passes. I mean, it's just, it was an incredible. I remember it because that was 86. I was in the league for 2 years.
Oh, really?
3 years at that time. Giants. 3 years at that time. And I was working with WCPO, which is a CBS affiliate in Cincinnati. And I covered that Super Bowl.
Okay.
Which was amazing. So, yeah. So, we spent an hour and 15 minutes on the phone. God almighty.
Yeah.
We just kept talking and talking and talking. I'm like, you know, talking about. So, he made a really good point because we were talking about the quarterbacks and their contracts and things of that nature. And he made a really great point, and it was about Tua Tagovailoa. And remember when Tua was drafted, Brian Flores, I think, wanted the kid out in the Chargers.
Yeah.
He wanted Justin Herbert. But as I understand it, the Dolphins took Tua before Justin Herbert went to the Chargers. And I don't think Brian Flores was very happy about that. And if Brian Flores would still be the coach of the Miami Dolphins, there's no way in the world that Tua Tagovailoa would be the quarterback.
Mm.
So whoever was the genius down there in Miami that hired Mike McDaniel unlocked Tua, and they have such a relationship bond now. And you heard that from Tua yesterday when he was talking about how he knew that Mike McDaniel went up and fought for him to get the contract done because Mike McDaniel believes in him. And what it brought out in me and Phil was, you know, Phil had Bill Parcells. I had Sam Weish. If we don't have those two coaches in our life, do we have the success that we had?
Probably not.
Probably not. So that there's a lot to be said about, like, Daniel Jones' situation with the Giants. All the different coaches, all the different offensive coordinators, all the different players around him, bringing free agents in, like, you know, that don't work, getting rid of players that you should have kept that ended up turning out to be really good, like Evan Ingram, and all the decisions that have been made around him that have negatively impacted that young man.
Yeah, I mean, if he, with Malik Nabers now, and I understand they lost Saquon, but I don't think they're going to really, really suffer from that move. But with Malik Nabers and the offensive line upgrades, Daniel Jones staying healthy, he should put together a productive season.
It should be, should. So here's the question that I would have for you. Let's say the Giants don't make the playoff, but they go 9-8, and Daniel goes 28 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 4,100 yards, 66% completion.
Well, you got to keep him because you got no choice because you're going to be in a place in the draft where you're probably not going to get the quarterback you want again. And who's going to be out there and available? Now, you're going to tell me that there's someone out there in a trade that's available you didn't expect, then fine. But if that happens, Daniel Jones is going to be your quarterback. You're stuck in the Daniel Jones paradox once again.
Yeah, but it's not like I think he'll be better just because the team around him should be better.
Yeah.
I also saw a stat yesterday. It was kind of interesting. And this stat came out before some of these other contracts have already been signed now in the last couple of days, where it listed the Giants as the sixth highest spending team in the NFL on their offense.
Hmm.
Which I thought was really strange. Now, some of these deals that have just been signed were not taken into account for those particular teams, like the Packers, like the Dolphins,
okay,
that just gave their quarterbacks new contracts.
All right, so then they probably went down to number 8.
Maybe or 10 or whatever. And, you know, listen, Dallas is going to have to give CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott two new contracts.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like Dak is going to be going for that job, though. I mean, yeah, the way that his owner's talking.
There's no way, I don't think. And I know this Dak Prescott, a fourth-round draft pick out of Mississippi State, busted his ass to get where he is. You know, he's not a guy that's going to walk out on his team or not show up to practice. But, man, if there were ever a guy that could do that and holds the leverage over the team, it would be him. But he's not that kind of person. He's not that kind of – he's a great leader. He's the face of that franchise. They have to pay him.
Well, maybe Dak's the guy that's available at the end of this season that you didn't expect.
They have to pay him, man. They have to. They have to.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they do. They got to give him a 4-year contract extension. It's got to be commensurate with
what have to do anything?
Everybody else is doing.
Really? Do you have to?
Yeah, you do.
Jerry Jones doesn't sound like he has to.
Well, you know, Jerry Jones, he's the leader of your team, and there is no alternative.
Well, the alternative probably isn't as good, but there's always an alternative.
All right, so what are the potential, and this is sports talk, radio talk here. I don't know anything. So what is the potential for the Dallas Cowboys to blow it up at the end of this season and bring in Deion Sanders as their head coach?
I think probably around 50%.
That's amazing to me.
Don't you agree, though?
I don't know if Deion wants the coach at the pro level, but if somehow Deion got to the Cowboys and he was able to bring his son, Shador, with him, would that blow you away? That wouldn't be shocking to me.
Well, not at this point, but something needs, a couple things need to happen. One, Mike McCarthy's got to have a bad season as the head coach of the Cowboys, and Deion Sanders has got to actually put together a good season out there in Colorado.
Yeah,
he can't have another season like that.
Shador's coming out. I mean, if they have another bad year and Shador's a top five, player, and maybe is maybe two or three in the Heisman voting, and they win four games at Colorado, do you think that Deion Sanders is going to stay there?
No, but I mean, do you want him as a coach if they won four games?
Dallas Cowboys, America's team, and the biggest showman out there is Deion. Could you imagine that sideline down there? The sideline's probably packed as it is already. You saw what he's done in Colorado.
Yep.
Could you imagine what it would be like in that environment?
That'd be entertainment central, man. It really would be.
I mean, would they win many games? I don't know, but it certainly would be
fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo, along with Jerry Recco on the Fan.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I've got the door propped open now, and I put the air conditioning low to get some of the airflow in here because it has been, it's a little much. And I'm a guy who's had some asthma over the years. Got it under control right now. Don't feel so good.
Why don't you open the window behind you?
Yeah, I know. Right. Let that air flow. Move around here. Well, now Boomer's fucking in all famished. What's the issue now? What do we got? What's the problem?
Nothing. There's no problems.
Okay.
I mean, we got over the major hurdle.
Right.
Now, I don't know. It's just like this. Is this, where's the leadership?
It's right here in this room, Boomer. That's where it is.
I'm going to start putting my foot
down. Where's your mirror?
That's the exactly.
I'm here to be a part of a radio program. You guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, all of us. We lead the radio station here. This show does.
Okay.
And we're doing it. We're showing everybody how it's done. Cleaning up our studio ourselves.
I've been putting turmeric and cinnamon in my coffee now.
Turmeric?
Turmeric, yeah. Turmeric.
And what? Cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
And that does what for you?
Makes me feel good.
All right.
Yeah.
What is it supposed to do?
I don't know. Make me feel good.
Turmeric?
Yeah.
Who told you to put turmeric in there?
I do take those pills.
Turmeric pills?
Yeah.
What is it supposed to do for you?
Hopefully help with inflammation.
Oh, okay.
Jism.
You know what? Never mind. It's a weird day. It's a strange day. We got strange people we're working with.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right. I mean, it's just, this is, they've been using the word weird a lot. Oh, they're weird. They're weird.
Weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness out there.
Weird. All right, Jerry, what's going on this morning with the sports?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And nobody was beating the Mets or the Yankees last night. Mets at home against the Twins.
The 2-2 to Pete. Breaking ball, line to right center field. That's down for a base hit. Long run for Martin. This ball rolls all the way to the wall. Gavel around second. Heading for third. Sarba waving him home. He's in standing. Alonso at second with an RBI double.
That along with his home run, which tied the game early on, and the Mets would go on to clobber the Twins 15-2. They all had hits, every single one of them that was in the lineup, which was kind of cool. Three hits for Luis Torrens, who had three RBIs. Here was Alonso, sounding a little bit like Boomer. Maybe not be one pitch, one inning, but kind of close, because you can't get five wins in a row until you get one.
Honestly, it doesn't matter who we're playing. It's just you want to take everything one day at a time, and just do the best you can with today. So I'm really happy that we were able to get today because sets the tone for the rest of the series.
There you go.
Yeah, I hope it does. This kid that came in, Matt Wallner, at the end of the game, felt bad for him.
It happens.
Yeah, I know. He's up there throwing meatballs.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you could have hit it.
And the Mets were hitting them.
Yeah. Felt bad for him.
Yep.
I hate when a fielder has to come in and pitch.
Mets remain tied with the Padres for the second. I love it. It's kind of fun.
Right. I mean, I think the players like it, too, when they get an opportunity.
Yeah.
I agree. Second and third wild card spots. They're a half game behind Atlanta for the first. Now, right behind them are the Diamondbacks. It looked like Arizona was going to fall the game behind them because they were down a bunch of runs in the ninth, and yet, and this was on the Nationals, yet here they came.
There goes Gurriel. The pitch swung on, hit well. Deep to right. Back it goes! Gone! Corbin Carroll! A two-run pinch hit walk-off homer!
I believe they scored, it was 4 or 5 runs in the ninth inning, and they wound up winning that game 9-8 and beating Washington. So they just ran a half game back. So that was kind of cool there in the National League. Meantime, in Philadelphia, Aaron Judge was doing Aaron Judge things.
Marte's pitch is swung on. Oh, hit in the air to deep left. There it goes. Way back. Oh, adios, amigo. Oh, what a shot. Aaron Judge. His second bomb of the night. The captain with his number 39 of the season.
99 RBIs. Ricky Ricardo with the call. Own the Van Yankees beat the Phillies 14-4. Jazz Chisholm also homered twice. And he played third base and did it quite well. This was Judge.
It was kind of like what we thought. You know, the dynamic player that first ball gets hit to him there and turns a sweet double play and then gets another chance to do it. And, you know, then even late in the game, he just stops a for sure double down the line.
Yeah, as he dove
would
for
you,
it.
Would you agree with this? I mean, I know he's only here for 2 games, but what a trade by Brian Cashman. Shrewd trade. They've won 3 in a row now. Now they're flying. They got the energy bunny right there.
I would tell you, he might have sparked some energy into this lineup the way Jose Iglesias did the Mets.
As Chisholm.
Him, yes, him.
Yeah.
Here was Chisholm on the Judge home runs, getting to watch it from up close and personal now.
Oh, my God, that's so sick. To hear, even to see on the billboard, is still sick. Like, especially the first one he hit today, I was just like, man, this is crazy to see up front, man. Like, seeing him do what he do and, like, the way he goes about it and the way he works is sick, man.
Sick, man.
I love what you do with the way you do it.
Sick. The Yankees tattooing Zach Wheeler, who gave up 7 runs over 5. Yankees are 63-45, half game behind Baltimore.
They're going to World Series, Jerry.
With Toronto. They might.
They're going.
You get Garrett Cole and Aaron Nola on the fan coverage 6. Now, you mentioned the trade deadline.
Yes.
And that the White Sox might be moving players. On NBC Sports Chicago, Ozzie Guillen found it funny that the White Sox actually think they'll be traded somewhere.
I don't know, for some reason, some players out there, they think they're going to get traded. They're like, a couple guys making...
They've made comments.
Comment about they want to say, who warned you? For real.
He stinks!
He goes, Yeah. Whoever that host
was. I know.
He goes, who warned you?
Pretty much.
I mean, it's bad.
They are not good.
If I were a White Sox, I'd be like, man, I can't wait to get the hell out
of
here.
And they did lose again last night.
Yeah, I know. 15 in a row. It's just unbelievable. You got to believe that they got to be trading guys off. But again, like I was telling yesterday, this whole thing feels like a sabotage thing by the ownership. Like, they want to lose. They want to fall out of favor. They don't want the political will to build a state. I just feel like they want to move.
Well, I mean, do you have to tank and bottom out to move if you want to move?
I don't know all that's going on out there. All I know is that, you know, it seems to me like there's more at play here than meets the eye. That's all.
There might be, or they might just be that bad.
Somebody's got to be the worst team in baseball.
That is true.
Worst ever?
It would be the Oakland A's, not the White Sox.
The worst ever team in baseball?
Could be. Are they on pace to beat the 62 Mets?
They're almost 60 games under 500 now. 60. Guillen said the other night, 2 or 3 nights ago, whatever, like when the season began, they thought this team would challenge for a playoff spot. And they're, 58 games under. NFL-wise, at Jet Camp, Aaron Rodgers holding guys accountable. They weren't playing well, and he let them know it. Here was Tyler Conklin.
I think that's the beauty of playing with, you know, a great like that, right? Like, you have someone that's going to, at all times, hold everybody accountable, no matter who you are, what happens. And I think that's kind of been something that's, you know, not every team has that, not everybody. So, I mean, I think that's really a blessing at the end of the day, to be able to have someone that cares that much.
Get them going in the right direction.
You know what I hope, and I wonder what's going to happen. You know, a lot of these teams don't play anybody in preseason. Yep. The preseason's a waste of time. I always wanted to play. I always wanted to be out on the field. I always wanted to, I don't know, 10 plays, 12 plays, something. I don't care if I throw screen passes, hand the ball off. You know, this is Phil and I talking again last night. Same thing. Maybe it was old school kind of stuff where you want to be out there. You want to feel the rush. You want to see the fans. It's different than scrimmages.
Mahomes says the same thing.
Yeah, it's different than scrimmages. You gotta feel it. You got to be out there, and you got to get the sense of what it means to play in front of people in a big arena. And, you know, I hope that Aaron gets a chance to do that this year, and I hope that Daniel Jones gets a chance to do that this year. I don't want, you know, stop putting him in bubble wrap.
They're so afraid they're going to get hurt, right?
I understand the argument, because if they do get hurt, then the argument is, why would you play them in preseason? It's the same thing.
Well, these two guys need to get out there because of what happened to them last year. It's a different situation. If it's someone who's always healthy and you stick them out there in the preseason and he gets hurt, then you're like, well, why the hell would you do that? But these guys need the reps.
I really felt like Aaron Rodgers came back last year and practiced so he could still feel what it was like to be a quarterback, you know, even with the Achilles situation. Mm-hmm. And he had the practice. He wanted to be out there. And that's, you gotta admire that. But now I think he's got to tell his team, I gotta play. I haven't played in 2 years.
Right, and maybe some clarity on what's coming for him.
2 days ago, you gave an interview where you said you didn't know how much longer you want to play, that you wanted to have 2 good years with the Jets, maybe try to win 2 Super Bowls. Does that mean 2 more? Or does last year count as one? Could this be the last season for you?
I would say that there's a lot of sentiment that last year wasn't a great year for me. So I'd like to still have 2 great years.
So that's pretty good.
That's good, yeah.
So he's not going. I think that was NFL Network he was on.
Yeah, Judy Batista.
Yep. So yeah. In Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is going after the one thing he hasn't accomplished yet, and that would be win a Super Bowl.
That's been the first checkbox for me since 2018. You know, I said that April 26th, whenever I was drafted, I said that, you know, and I meant that. But, you know, this the highest level of this game, you know, we play. So you got to go out a champion. That's what I want to be labeled as, a champion, you know.
Which right now he is not.
Amazing him. Well, look at him physically. He lost weight.
Mm. Well, he was just really sick, too, for a while.
Yes, he was. He's back on the field. He said he's finally feeling better and feeling healthy.
Well, he looks thin. He looks good. I wonder if they're going to run him as much.
Oof. We will see. At the Olympics, we heard about Jason Tatum not playing, of course, the other day on Sunday.
Yes.
So that's become a big talking point for a lot, including Shannon and Chad Ochocinco on the Nightcap podcast, as they discussed.
I get Ron, I get KD, I get Steph. You mean to tell me everybody else outside of those three better than me? You mean to tell me I can't get 2 minutes? I'll be damned if I got to take a backseat to everybody else.
You think he was upset?
Man, please.
What? You know them boys, man. Them jokes is flying there.
All right, so that's a pretty good take, I would think. You know, it makes no sense that he didn't play. Then there was Stephen A. Smith.
I'm trying to get away from cussing because, you know, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but I'm a decent human being that loves the Lord, and my pastor's watching me sometimes, and I know he gets mad at me when I cuss. But Steve Kerr, that's some straight bullshit.
Yes. There you go.
Well set up.
Tell it like it is, man.
By Stephen A., exactly. And then one other Olympic story that I'll leave you with that takes a little time to get through, and this is from our dear pal, Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, boy.
On Sirius XM.
I heard this yesterday.
Yes. We know he's a tennis fan, so he was up watching the match early yesterday, and he was not happy with the analyst, Renee Stubbs, because he will point out, in his mind, Mike was on way too much for him.
I watched the match today, this morning, on Peacock, and despite the fact that Renee Stubbs did everything in her power to absolutely ruin it and never shut up and was in a poor Mary Carrillo, did an awful job. Oh, my God. Please.
Okay, so his point is, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You don't need to explain every single thing you see to me.
I'm a tennis fan. If I'm up making the commitment to watch these two on Peacock on a Monday morning at 7:45, I'm into it. I don't need her every single point. Oh, she was awful. What a terrible, absolutely, and good call. I got off on a tangent. What an atrocious broadcast.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. But what, the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. God.
As he would continue, boy, was that lousy.
Oh, Stubbs was awful. An atrocious performance. Atrocious. How not to be a broadcaster. Renee Stubbs.
Oh, my God.
Wow, right. Wow. Look at him sitting in judgment.
Yes. Woo. So then it gets back to him. He sees word, gets word, that she responded by calling him a sexist for his take.
Here we go.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So Renee Stubbs is now going to get on me? This is cause. So this is her response to somebody. Now I'm annoyed. So Renee Stubbs, who absolutely ruined the broadcast today. I will say that, and the cows come home. I watched it. Shut up.
That's as angry as I've heard him.
Yes,
wow. He says, I am no sexist.
I've known Carrillo forever. You didn't see me knock her. She did the broadcast with her. So how in the world could I be a sexist if I say great things about Carrillo and bad things about her? One more time. If she doesn't think that I have a right to make a comment on her broadcasting, I have made her. How many times have I killed Romo? Is that sexist?
He's got a point. I mean, you know,
he does. Point.
It's, well, it's basically the fallback for everybody that gets triggered. You're a misogynist. You're a sexist. You're a racist. You're this. You're that. You can't criticize anybody. Well, I guess you can. And Chris is doing the right thing, saying it the right way.
Continue to defend himself this way.
So now I got to listen to Renee Stubbs get on me about her horrific broadcast today, where she didn't shut up for 2 hours, talked nonstop, and ruined the enjoyment of the match for yours truly. Non-stop. So I'm going to listen to Renee Stubbs. You must be kidding me.
And then went
true
on
story?
About how much he loves Martina, Chris Yeah,
whatever. He's making a point that he's not a sexist. We get it. I understand. Like, she wants
to... I'm
going
to list every woman I like for the next 3 hours. Mother Teresa. Sophia Loren. Princess Diana. Mother Mary. Mama Cass.
Mother Mary to Mama Cass.
Then I was wondering, is he mocking Sirius?
So now she's mad.
Oh.
Because I got on right now. I'm actually fascinated that she found it.
And then realized that it was Funhouse that posted it.
Yeah, it
which
was,
is how
yeah.
she
which
found it.
Which he found it. Of course, that's so, what happens, yes.
That was,
oh my God.
I don't listen to Sirius.
Well, I think he just re-upped there. And then the U.S. women's basketball team beat Japan by a lot.
Is that Chinese 7-footer
in the Olympics? I believe she is, yes.
Okay.
I believe she is.
I got to see how she's doing, because that's my new favorite athlete.
Okay. Remember her name? I don't remember her name.
I don't. I said it the last time, but she dominates.
Well, she's so much bigger than everybody
else. She absolutely dominates.
Crazy.
All right, Jerry, we'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A couple of around the radio station things I want to get to.
I love it when you have scuttlebutt.
Yeah, I do. I do have scuttlebutt.
Okay, good.
So, Ryan Hurley, our brand manager,
yeah,
just texted me.
Didn't text me.
Yeah, because I texted him this morning the picture of the stuff, so he's just responding to that.
Okay.
He goes, I just got the answer on who spilled the stuff on the desk. They are upset and sorry. They wanted to feel out if they should just reach out to you privately or call into the show.
I think whoever it is should call into the show.
That's what I said. I said,
yeah.
Well, I said calling into the show is the right move, but if this person is uncomfortable in doing that, then I don't know what to say. And that's what we would like.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, own up to it. It's fine.
Yeah, so he said this person will call into the show.
Good. And I think our audience would like to know who that person is.
I still don't know who it is.
We don't know.
He didn't tell me who it was. So it's going to be a surprise. So this person should call into the show shortly, I would imagine. And we'll find out who it is.
Loogie.
See, I feel like Loogie or Sean would have texted me directly.
And I can narrow it down because I did reach out to a bunch of the people from the weekend. Marco said it was not him. He worked in the other studio. And Sean also said it was not him. And I do think Morash would admit if it was him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he would actually come in here and lick it up. We asked him to.
He would eat that sludge with a spoon and like it. Yeah.
Who did we have drink? Didn't we have him drink something one time?
We did. That was bad.
That was the spank water.
The water.
Do not compare me to Morass.
Yeah, I was. What was that? It was some water somewhere.
Water that was sitting in the green room, the Steve Summers green room.
Yeah, he didn't. We didn't make him swallow it.
We made him swish it.
He swished it in his mouth.
Chaz Jism.
Yeah.
Well, he got $1,000 for it, didn't he?
I think he did have. Yeah, I think he did get $1,000.
Yeah.
I feel like Fleeks, is this the person? Are you on the phone with the person right now? All right. So the person who spilled this stuff on the desk and left it there and didn't say anything is now on the phone with Fleeks and going to be on the phone with us, so we don't know who it is. It doesn't say here up on my board.
Do you want it to, or do you want to just pot the person up? I didn't know if you wanted to see the name before you heard the voice.
Just pot the person up.
Yeah, just pot the person up. All right.
Person.
Person. Hello. Thanks for calling in and taking accountability for this.
Yeah. Hello, guys. It's me, Danielle.
Come on. They ruled you out.
I'm sorry. I did it. I cleaned it the best I could. I hand sanitized the whole top of it. But, you know, there's like the little hole in that desk, and it goes down, and I couldn't get into the 2 millimeter of space. I needed like a screwdriver. I didn't have that with me that night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I am shocked.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
I am really shocked.
We ruled you out immediately. We said there's no way Danielle would have done that, or Ann Ligori. And if they did, they would have alerted the proper authorities on what to do about it. What was it, coffee, Danielle, or something else?
No, it was hot chocolate, because you know how we have it in the break room?
Oh, hot chocolate. That explains, like, the hair.
What do you mean, that?
There was a quarter under there, and the quarter was growing, like, green hair on it.
Well, get out of here.
We have a picture.
We have pictures of it all, Danielle. We're not lying to you. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you calling in. You know, I appreciate your honesty. And
hand up accountability.
Yeah, I love that. I love that about you.
Yeah, that's very, very, very good. But I guess the thing, in retrospect, something like this happens again. The hot chocolate gets underneath here. You reach out to Ryan Hurley, say, listen, I'm sorry this happened. I'm just telling you it happened. Somebody can come in, maybe clean it, because I can't get underneath there. And then everybody's happy. Yeah. You know, none of this happens. But then again, if you had done that, we wouldn't have had fun this morning in cleaning it ourselves. So,
did you actually clean it? You got underneath? How'd you do that?
We unscrewed the desk and then lifted up the giant piece of plexiglass and got under there. So,
I
mean, Danielle, we're men. We know what we're doing here. We know how to unscrew things and take things apart and just lift stuff up and break things and then clean it. That's what we do.
And it's funny because Boomer and I are not like handy people, but in this instance, we stepped up and we said, we gotta do something about this. Hot chocolate.
I would have done it. I didn't have what kind of tool did you guys use to get into those screwdriver holes?
Man hands. We used man hands.
Big Zoo. Big Zoo's got wrench hands. And he was unscrewing it for us. So, listen, Danielle, you can see all the stuff on social media. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network if you want to relive this whole thing. And we appreciate you calling up and taking accountability. And we're a little disappointed. We thought it was Morash. We thought it was Lou Gow. Or we thought it was maybe Marco Belletti. But finding out it was you was a little shocking. But thanks for admitting to it.
Hey, well, the desk never looked cleaner on TV. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Yes.
Very good. All righty. Thanks, Danielle.
Danielle McCartan.
Yes, she is.
Danielle McCartan.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah. It would have been more shocking if it were Ann Ligori, but this was the second most shocking of them all, considering the meatheads that we named after Ann and Danielle. Had to be one of those meatheads, and it wasn't. That's why you can't gamble.
Got a lot of weird people around here.
This is why I'm the future.
Yeah, he didn't spill anything. He did not. All right, so here's the other thing from around the radio station.
Okay, more scuttlebutt.
Now that we got that handled. So I'm sure you remember. It was a great moment in Boomer and Geo history. It was a first. We had never announced a college, what do you call those things?
Commitment?
Commitments. We had never announced a college commitment on the air, live on the air. Never
right, we that. Had a top-tier athlete.
We did.
Who was announcing that he was going to a specific college. Yes, I do remember this. It was one and only that we've ever done.
Right, and I was so excited to do this and so excited to provide this moment for the family. And it was the Schwartz family. And it was the first ever long snapper college commitment that was broadcast live on TV. And
Think about that for a second.
First ever.
Long snapper
commitment
on TV.
That's
Nobody's
right.
ever done that. We had the Jets long snapper call in.
Yes. I mean, it was just, and here is the video right here as he puts on the LIU hat. Yeah, everybody's clapping, shaking hands.
Yeah.
And the Schwartz family took off their jackets and they had LIU. I'm shaking all their hands. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one of the best feel good moments. I remember Izzo was taking pictures. It was amazing. And, you know, I see last night on X, Bradley Schwartz, who we watched make that commitment to LIU live on the show. Yeah. Long snapper Bradley Schwartz, son of Peter Schwartz. He said a statement regarding my status.
He put out a statement.
It says a statement regarding my status for the upcoming college football season and academic year. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's the statement.
All right.
Due to unforeseen circumstances, I have decided to decommit from Long Island University.
Is he okay? I mean,
apparently, I did reach out.
Unforeseen circumstances.
He also said
they didn't hire his dad. What?
No. Thank you to all the coaches for your assistance. I will be announcing my decision for the 2024-25 season and academic year in the coming days. So I did reach out, and I said, that was Bradley okay? And Peter said, yes.
Bradley's okay.
So it's not, and everybody else is fine.
Okay.
In the family. It's not like a health scare or anything, so.
That's good. Well, he's just taking like a step in his dad's direction. Like, you know, there's always things that go on with Peter that are unexplainable.
Right. Like, this didn't go my way. Let me go on X and complain about it.
Exactly.
I mean, this is very, very Schwartzian. Very Schwartzian behavior.
It is very Schwartzian behavior, yes.
I mean,
Unless he got a nil deal to go somewhere else.
It's like a new leaf on life.
So, I mean, I'm like really disappointed.
Do you know where he's going?
I don't know.
Did Peter say anything to you?
He didn't say anything, no. He didn't say anything.
I mean, you reached out.
I did.
Via text. You didn't talk to him.
I didn't talk to him.
He's not here today?
He's not here today. I mean, all right. So I said, what happened? And Peter goes, the short answer is broken promises.
I'll see. Okay.
And I said, well, where's he going now? He goes, we're finalizing that in the next couple of days.
Broken promises.
I mean,
Maybe Peter was supposed to be the announcer for the team or something.
PA. Yeah.
You get one, you get them all.
But like now I feel like that moment that we had that was so special is now just evaporated. And that disappoints me. Now, I know Bradley can't make decisions on his future based on how we feel. I get that. But we put that whole thing together. It was months and months in the planning and the making. He grabbed that hat, put that LIU hat on. I mean, look how happy everybody is. And now it's all gone. It's over.
I was so happy for him that day.
I know.
So happy.
Look at this. Look at the smiles on everybody's face.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me it's over?
Yeah.
Gosh.
That quickly.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Unforeseen circumstances.
That's not my fault.
Put out a statement. Statement on X. Long snapper. Bradley Schwartz. Decommitting. Unforeseen circumstances. This is big news, man, in the long snapping community. Everybody's talking. So those other hats, by the way. Do you have that picture? Put that up again. I want to see the other hats that were on the table. I'm going to guess that he's going to go to that one up in Connecticut, Western Connecticut. That's going to be my guess.
That's where he's going.
So he had Pace.
Yes.
Western Connecticut and Wagner were the other three on the desk. I'm saying that he's going to go to Western Connecticut. That's my guess now. I feel like they wooed him. I remember the whole process. And they were in on Bradley heavy. So I think that was the number two choice.
Yeah, but like unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
Well, apparently they promised him something and they're not giving him. I don't know if it's playing time or money or scholarship or something. I don't
probably
know.
Probably scholarship money, I would think.
Yeah.
That would bother me if I thought I was getting X, and then when I turned around and I decided to show up at school, they were giving me Y. That would upset me too. That would be a problem.
I mean, I'm sure there's a legitimate reason why Bradley put out that statement last night. But I'm just saying, for us and for the purposes of our show.
Well, us and the long snapping community.
Right, exactly. I mean, we went out of our way to roll out the red carpet to make this thing happen. It's just like, now it means nothing.
Here's the thing. Unfortunately, the long snapper, okay, that person, only his family goes to watch him.
True.
No, nobody really knows who he is until he fires one over the head of the punter,
right,
or over the head of the holder.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we were putting and shining a light on that portion of the sport.
That's right, we were. And now that light has gone dim.
And now we have learned a very valuable lesson that community could be a little bit
weird.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't think we can ever do another one of those commitment announcements now after this.
It's hurtful. I mean, for us, but I mean, I just want the kid to be happy. I want him to be happy, find his way, and become a success.
Yeah, that's all we really want for Bradley. But I mean, it just, no one's going to believe us anymore. If we do another commitment, they're going to be like, no, I mean, we can't trust you guys. Last one of these you did, the guy backed right out of it, you know?
Puts us in a tough spot.
It puts us in a really tough spot. I mean, they really painted, the Schwartz is painting us in a corner here. They did.
I'm not surprised, though. I mean, are you?
I mean, I was, and then I thought about it, and now I'm not.
Right.
I mean, like, Bradley Schwartz putting out a statement last night on X is, you want to talk apple doesn't fall far from the tree?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's perfect. And that was circulating around. I got a lot of text messages about that last night. A lot.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A couple of around the radio station things I want to get to.
I love it. Like, you have scuttlebutt.
Yeah, I do. I do have scuttlebutt.
Okay, good.
So, Ryan Hurley, our brand manager.
Yeah.
Just texted me.
Didn't text me.
Yeah, because I texted him this morning the picture of the stuff, so he's just responding to that.
Okay.
He goes, I just got the answer on who spilled the stuff on the desk. They are upset and sorry. They wanted to feel out if they should just reach out to you privately or call into the show.
I think whoever it is should call into the show.
That's what I said. I said calling into the show is the right move, but if this person is uncomfortable in doing that, then I don't know what to say. But that's what we would like.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, own up to it. It's fine.
Yeah, so he said this person will call into the show.
Good, and I think our audience would like to know who that person is.
I still don't know who it is.
We don't know.
He didn't tell me who it was. So it's going to be a surprise. So this person should call into the show shortly, I would imagine. And we'll find out who it is.
Loogie!
See, I feel like Loogie or Sean would have texted me directly.
And I can narrow it down because I did reach out to a bunch of the people from the weekend. Marco said it was not him. He worked in the other studio. And Sean also said it was not him. And I do think Morish would admit if it was him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he would actually come in here and lick it up. We asked him to.
he would eat that sludge with a spoon and like it. Yeah.
Who did we have drink? Didn't we have him drink something one time?
We did. That was bad.
That was the spank water.
The water.
Do not compare me to Morass.
Yeah, I was. What was that? It was some water somewhere.
Water that was sitting in the green room, the Steve Summers green room.
Yeah, we didn't make him swallow
we
it.
We made him swish it.
He swished it in his mouth.
Chaz Jism.
Yeah.
Well, he got $1,000 for it, didn't he?
I think he did have. Yeah, I think he did get $1,000.
Yeah.
I feel like Fleegs, is this the person? Are you on the phone with the person right now? All right. So the person who spilled this stuff on the desk and left it there and didn't say anything is now on the phone with Fleegs and going to be on the phone with us, so we don't know who it is. It doesn't say here up on my board.
Do you want it to, or do you want to just pot the person up? I didn't know if you wanted to see the name before you heard the voice.
Just pot the person up.
Yeah, just pot the person up. All right.
Person.
Person. Hello. Thanks for calling in and taking accountability for this.
Yeah, hello, guys. It's me, Danielle.
Danielle!
Come on,
Danielle. They run you out!
I'm sorry. I cleaned it the best I could. I hand sanitized the whole top of it. But, you know, there's like the little hole in that desk, and it goes down, and I couldn't get into the 2 millimeter of space. I needed like a screwdriver. I didn't have that with me that night.
Yeah, I mean, I am
shocked.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
I am really shocked.
We ruled you out immediately. We said there's no way Danielle would have done that, or Anne Ligori. And if they did, they would have alerted the proper authorities on what to do about it. What was it, coffee, Danielle, or something else?
No, it was hot chocolate, because you know how we have it in the break room?
Oh, hot chocolate. That explains, like, the hair.
Yeah.
What do you mean that?
There was a quarter under there, and the quarter was growing like green hair on it.
Well, get out of here.
No, it was.
We have a picture.
We have pictures of it all, Danielle. We're not lying to you. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you calling in. You know, I appreciate your honesty. And,
hand up accountability.
Yeah, I love that. I love that about you.
Yeah, that's very, very, very good. But I guess the thing, in retrospect, something like this happens again. The hot chocolate gets underneath here. You reach out to Ryan Hurley, say, listen, I'm sorry this happened. I'm just telling you it happened. Somebody can come in, maybe clean it, because I can't get underneath there. And then everybody's happy. Yeah. You know, none of this happens. But then again, if you had done that, we wouldn't have had fun this morning in cleaning it ourselves. So,
did you actually clean it? You got underneath? How'd you do that?
We unscrewed the desk and then lifted up the giant piece of plexiglass and got under there.
So, yeah.
I mean, Danielle, we're men. We know what we're doing here. We know how to unscrew things and take things apart and just lift stuff up and break things and then clean it.
That's
what we do.
And it's funny because Boomer and I are not like handy people, but in this instance, we stepped up and we said, we gotta do something about this. Well, it makes sense. Hot chocolate.
I would have done it. I didn't have what kind of tool did you guys use to get into those screwdriver holes?
Man hands. We used man hands.
Big Zoo. Big Zoo's got wrench hands. And he was unscrewing it for us. So, well, listen, Danielle, you can see all the stuff on social media. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network if you want to relive this whole thing. And we appreciate you calling up and taking accountability. And we're a little disappointed. We thought it was Morash, we thought it was Lou Gower, we thought it was maybe Marco Belletti, but finding out it was you was a little shocking, but thanks for admitting to it.
Hey, well, the desk never looked cleaner on TV. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Yes.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Danielle McCartan.
Yes, she is.
Danielle McCartan.
Well, that's a shocker.
Yeah. It would have been more shocking if it were Anne Ligori, but this was the second most shocking of them all, considering the meatheads that we named after Anne and Danielle. Had to be one of those meatheads, and it wasn't. That's why you can't gamble.
Got a lot of weird people around here.
This is why I'm the future.
Yeah, he didn't spill anything. He did not. All right, so here's the other thing from around the radio station.
Okay, more scuttlebutt.
Now that we got that handled. So I'm sure you remember, it was a great moment in Boomer and Geo history. It was a first. We had never announced a college, what do you call those things?
Commitments.
We had never announced the college commitment on the air, live on the air.
Had a top-tier athlete.
We did.
Who was announcing that he was going to a specific college. Yes, I do remember this. It was one and only that we've ever done.
Right, and I was so excited to do this and so excited to provide this moment for the family. And it was the Schwartz family. And it was the first ever long snapper college commitment that was broadcast live on TV. And
Just think about that for a second.
First ever
long snapper
commitment
on TV.
That's
Nobody's ever done that. We had the Jets long snapper call in.
Yes. I mean, it was just, and here is the video right here as he puts on the LIU hat. Yeah, everybody's clapping, shaking hands. And and the Schwartz family took off their jackets and they had LIU. I'm shaking all their hands. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one of the best feel good moments. I remember Izzo was taking pictures. It was amazing. And you know, I see last night on X, Bradley Schwartz, who we watched make that commitment to LIU live on the show. Yeah. Long snapper Bradley Schwartz, son of Peter Schwartz. He said a statement regarding my status for
He put out a statement.
It says a statement regarding my status for the upcoming college football season and academic year. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's the statement.
All right.
Due to unforeseen circumstances, I have decided to decommit from Long Island University.
Is he okay? I mean,
apparently, I did reach out.
Unforeseen circumstances.
He also said
they didn't hire his dad.
What? No. Thank you to all the coaches for your assistance. I will be announcing my decision for the 2024-25 season and academic year in the coming days. So I did reach out, and I said, was Bradley okay? And Peter said, yes.
Bradley's okay.
So it's not, and everybody else is fine.
Okay.
In the family. It's not like a health scare or anything, so.
That's good. Well, he's just taking like a step in his dad's direction. Like, you know, there's always things that go on with Peter that are unexplainable.
Right. Like, this didn't go my way. Let me go on X and complain about it.
Exactly.
I mean, this is very, very Schwartzian. Very Schwartzian behavior.
It is very Schwartzian behavior, yes.
I mean,
unless he got a nil deal to go somewhere else.
It's like a new leaf on life.
So, I mean, I'm like really disappointed.
Do you know where he's going?
I don't know.
Did Peter say anything to you?
He didn't say anything, no.
I mean, you reached out.
I did.
You didn't talk to him.
I didn't talk to him.
He's not here today?
He's not here today. All right. So I said, what happened? And Peter goes, the short answer is broken promises.
I'll see. Okay.
And I said, well, where is he going now? He goes, we're finalizing that in the next couple of days.
Broken promises.
I mean,
maybe Peter was supposed to be the announcer for the team or something.
PA. Yeah.
You get one, you get them all.
But like now I feel like that moment that we had that was so special is now just evaporated. And that disappoints me. Now, I know Bradley can't make decisions on his future based on how we feel. I get that. But we put that whole thing together. It was months and months in the planning and the making. He grabbed that hat, put that LIU hat on. I mean, look how happy everybody is. And now it's all gone. It's over.
I was so happy for him that day.
I know.
So happy.
Look at this. Hey, look at the smiles on everybody's face.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me it's over?
Yeah.
Gosh.
That quickly.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Unforeseen circumstances.
That's not my fault.
Put out a statement. Statement on X. Long snapper. Bradley Schwartz. Decommitting. Unforeseen circumstances. This is big news, man, in the long snapping community. Everybody's talking. So those other hats, by the way. Do you have that picture? Put that up again. I want to see the other hats that were on the table. I'm going to guess that he's going to go to that one up in Connecticut, Western Connecticut. That's going to be my guess.
That's where he's going.
So he had Pace.
Yes.
Western Connecticut and Wagner were the other three on the desk. I'm saying that he's going to go to Western Connecticut. That's my guess now. I feel like they wooed him. I remember the whole process. And they were in on Bradley heavy. So I think that was the number two choice.
Yeah, but like unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
Well, apparently they promised him something and they're not giving him. I don't know if it's playing time or money or scholarship or something.
Probably scholarship money, I would think.
Yeah.
That would bother me if I thought I was getting X and then when I turned around and I decided to show up at school, they were giving me Y. That would be a problem.
I mean, I'm sure there's a legitimate reason why Bradley put out that statement last night. But I'm just saying, for us and for the purposes of our show.
Well, us and the long-snapping community.
Right, exactly. I mean, we went out of our way to roll out the red carpet to make this thing happen. It's just like, now it means nothing. Means nothing.
Here's the thing. Unfortunately, the long-snapper, okay, that person, only his family goes to watch him.
True.
Nobody really knows who he is until he fires one over the head of the punter,
right,
or over the head of the holder.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here we were putting and shining a light on that portion of the sport.
That's right, we were. And now that light has gone dim.
And now we have learned a very valuable lesson that community could be a little bit
weird.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't think we can ever do another one of those commitment announcements now after this.
It's hurtful. I mean, for us, but I mean, I just want the kid to be happy. I want him to be happy, find his way, and become a success.
Yeah, that's all we really want for Bradley. But I mean, it just, no one's going to believe us anymore. If we do another commitment, they're going to be like, no, I mean, we can't trust you guys. Last one of these you did, the guy backed right out of it. You know?
Puts us in a tough spot.
It does puts us sure. in a really tough spot. I mean, they really painted, the Schwartz is painting us in a corner here. They did.
I'm not surprised, though. I mean, are you?
I mean, I was, and then I thought about it, and now I'm not.
Right.
I mean, like, Bradley Schwartz putting out a statement last night on X is, you want to talk apple doesn't fall far from the tree?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's perfect. And that was circulating around. I got a lot of text messages about that last night. A lot.